Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast, our nightly look at training camp for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And today is Tuesday, August the 14th. It's the final Tuesday of training camp at La Trobe. And I know that that's one day closer to the end and one day closer to good buddy Mark Cabali able to get out of the dorm rooms at La Trobe. So he joins us once again on the Terrible Podcast. Mark, thanks for taking the time.
Anytime, Dave, and as you're talking to me, the heavens are opening up over La Trobe. Here comes rain. Time once again. Perfect timing.
They've had great timing at missing those rain so far. I think they've only gotten rained out the one time they had to move over to the Southside facility.
You know what was ironic about that was I was told it didn't rain at all here in La Trobe that day that they moved to the Southside, so they could have practiced here. It was just preventative, and they could have practiced here if they wanted to.
The big news today, Max Starks off PUP. You broke that story this morning. You pulled off the side of the road and had the post ready to go, I heard. So good insight for you there. But due to the new CBA rules, he's not going to be able to practice until Friday, I believe. Mike Tomlin said after practice today, he didn't rule him out for the game this weekend, but there's no way he plays this weekend against the Colts, right?
Not only that, I find it hard to believe that he'd even play in Buffalo. I don't think they're really worried about Max Starks being game ready, so to speak. They're worried about him September 9th and being ready to go. So today, he didn't do anything much more than he would normally do if he was on the pup. He wasn't in any of his no pads, no helmet. He was working out on the sideline just like a normal pup day, but that's one of the things he has to do to get through this until he can actually put on the pads on Friday. But that not only goes for him, the two guys that just signed, Justin Till and the Ford kid, I can't even only know his name. Is it Jason Ford, maybe?
Jason Ford, yeah.
Yeah, those guys won't be able to practice as well. And I'm just not quite sure if it's from the day they signed or practices. So it very well Pill could be ready by Thursday, but Ford's definitely not allowed to practice until Friday as well. That's CBA rule. I don't know what it does. I don't know why it's even in there, but rules are rules.
Yeah, and you mentioned both Justin Pill and Jason Ford being signed. John Clay was waived injured with a busted-up quad there. And, unfortunate for him, but both these guys that they signed, Justin Pill and Jason Ford, these guys right now are camp bodies, right, just to push the guys ahead of them. Jamie McCoy, I think Ken Laird reported that Jamie McCoy is working with the running backs now, which would probably mean that we're going to get a good look at him at fullback behind Will Johnson in the game against the Colts. Is that how you're seeing things?
You know, the way I've viewed it since the David Johnson went out, I always just figured that Jamie McCoy would be the best fit for that position. He's a guy that's not huge, but he's not the same body type as David Johnson, but he was able to do the same types of things. He's a very good blocker. He's quick enough to get downfield. He's got nice hands. So I'm actually quite excited to see what he can do. As for Ford, he said that he hasn't been told anything yet, but he's going to be playing some fullback as well as running back. But definitely him more than Pill is just a camp body. I think Pill, they're going to see what he can do, because after Leonard Pope, they really don't have anything, at least the first month of the season, as in the way in of a third tight end, especially one who can block. And Pill's more known for his blocking than anything else. So I'm sure he'll be thrown in there eventually as that fullback / tight end role as well. But I could see Pill. We'll see what he can do. He's a 10-year vet. Obviously, you're playing in this league for 10 consecutive years. You're probably pretty decent at what you're doing. So I would give him a little bit more chance to make some headway than the Jason Ford.
Do you see Pill as more of competition for Leonard Pope, or Do you think, you know, if Janie McCoy is able to handle the fullback slash tight end role, is there a possibility that they only carry Heath Miller, Leonard Pope, and, say, Janie McCoy along with Will Johnson in the tight end slash fullback category? Or do you see them keeping, I guess, three tight ends and two fullbacks out of training camp?
That's very, very possible. Like I said in the past, it's hard to make a guess at this because we don't know how Todd Haley likes to see the positions, how he likes to fill. We knew what Arians would like to do, so it's really hard to say. But I would like to think that he would like to have three tight ends. And with Wesley Saunders not available for the first month of the season, that puts a little bit of a kink in the plans. And like I said, behind Pope, I think Pope's pretty entrenched. Obviously, he's entrenched. But behind those two, you got McCoy, who could be playing fullback, could not be. You have Paulson, who's more a pass catcher than any sort of a blocker right now. And the big thing is depth. I mean, if Leonard Pope hurts his foot, all of a sudden you have absolutely nothing. So I think that's why they brought Peel in, to see what he can do. So we don't know what he can do yet, but I think he has a very good shot of maybe holding down that role, maybe until Wes Saunders comes by.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think pretty much a consensus is that David Paulson's not going to make this 53-man roster. He's probably going to be a practice squad candidate.
He can't block. That's the problem. He can't block right now.
Yeah,
he can catch the ball. He can make plays. He just can't block right now.
And how effective is he on special teams from what you've seen? Worth, you know, usually that goes along with blocking, you know?
Yeah, I don't know where he actually fits in on any special teams other than maybe the field goal and extra point unit, and that's not really going to – you can put anybody in there. So,
yeah,
I mean, definitely he's going to make the practice squad because he has that type of talent, but he just needs some work on blocking.
Yeah, we saw Jamie McCoy on special teams, unfortunately, on the wrong end of it a few times with a block in the back, two of them. So that's definitely one thing that he's going to have to clean up this week against the Colts as well. Walter McFadden, what have you seen out of this kid? This kid is kind of surprised me when I went through the participation report and back through the game film several times. He's a guy that replaced Keenan Lewis on the outside when Keenan Lewis came out of the game. And basically, you know, was in that second group there. Of course, Cortez Allen continued coming into the game as the nickelback position. Is Walter McFadden a guy that we're overlooking as a possibility to make the roster as that fifth cornerback spot?
I was going to say, they need somebody at that fifth cornerback spot, and your guess is as good as mine right now who that might be able to be. Maybe it's a Terrence Frazier, because he's right now the only backup, so to speak, nickelback. So that might play a part in it at all. But, yeah, they just need to take a look at guys like McFadden, see if he's able to play. And that's what these preseason games are all about. So, I mean, let's wait until this week and see in that same situation who they might replace Keenan Lewis with. Maybe it will be Terrence Frederick this time instead of McFadden. So I don't know if they can really read a lot into that right now. I think they're just trying to get different guys looks with better competition. I mean, we talked about it before with guys like Ryan Lee, who the offensive guard, he looks pretty good, but then you notice he goes in against the third and fourth string, and that puts him into perspective a little bit. Let's see him what he can do against second and first team caliber players. Same goes with Adrian Robinson. Obviously, he's better than any third team player that was on the field against the Eagles. He showed that, but can he be able to produce like that with first and second team players going against? So I think that's a lot to what you can read into the McFadden issue right there, to see what he can do against the best one. Like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if Terrence Frederick's that guy this week.
Okay, that would be interesting to watch. And I'm talking with Mark Cabali of the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. You can follow Mark on Twitter at @MarkCabali_trib. Does great work during training camp and all. Mark, what about Brandon Johnson versus Stevenson Sylvester? Both of those guys play both inside and outside in that game against the Eagles, about the same amount of snaps. Are those two battling for one spot, or is there some concern that Jason Worlds – I'm starting to get the feeling that Jason Worlds might not make it by the start of the season. Are you feeling that possibility of him starting the season on the practice squad, or, you know, what's the word on Worlds?
It's very weird. I talked to Worlds a couple days ago. You know, when I talked to him last Sunday, and I asked him, I mean, this is supposed to be just precautionary. Through minicamp, they were saying it was precautionary because they didn't want to get banged up for having ready for training camp. And what he told me is he's basically ready to go, and he's just waiting for the coaching staff to give him, you know, the go-ahead. And that hasn't come yet, which leads me to believe that they're not 100% sure he's healthy right now. But, yeah, I mean, I would hate to believe that they think Jason Worlds can't make this team, knowing what, especially with what the possibilities upcoming with a James Harrison, who knows how long he can last this year. Who knows if he's around next year at all. They need some sort of outside linebacker, and Chris Carter so he can play a little bit. But as for Brandon Johnson and Stevenson Sylvester, I think what's hurting Stevenson Sylvester right now is they're moving him inside and outside. That's a lot for a young guy to try to grasp. But Keith Butler wants his backup linebacker to be able to play all four positions. That's very important to him because he obviously does not want Warren Timmons going back outside in the pinch this year. So just saying that, I think Brandon Johnson got an edge because he's a veteran guy who can play inside and outside. He's looked better than Stevenson Sylvester through the first 3 weeks of camp.
And, you know, the thing with Sylvester the other night, and Tomlin hinted about it in his post-game press conference, he didn't keep him, you know, he seemed to be in the backfield and around plays, but he couldn't keep his body underneath control, and he missed several, I think he missed a sack and two other tackles as a result of that. So I was just wondering if indeed, you know, those two were battling for position or what the situation with Worlds was. But, Wolf, we got three more weeks to kind of figure that out, but both those guys are worth watching. I did find it interesting that Morty Ivey only played on at the right outside linebacker spot, so I think it's pretty safe to say that there's no way that Morty Ivey's going to make this 53-man roster.
Dave, he was back inside today during practice. I did notice that, so maybe they're switching him back up. I think Morty Ivey's more of an inside guy. I mean, it's the same as I think Stevenson Sylvester is more of an inside guy. But how the Steelers view it, they want, like I said, they want those guys to play all the positions. So that might be a strike against them. But definitely Morty Ivey was back inside today.
You getting a feeling that any of these young safeties are going to make the 53-man roster? And do you think they're going to keep five out of training camp, being as Ryan Clark's going to be down against Denver in week one? Are we expecting it to be Monday, Will Allen and, say, Cromartie Smith behind Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark, and with maybe Robert Golden making the practice squad?
Yeah, it sounds like right. Just like you said, I don't think Cromartie Smith is eligible for the practice squad anymore, which would probably make that decision kind of easy for the Steelers if they do want to, which they probably do have to keep five safeties up for, like you said, week one. So Robert Golden is an undrafted guy, I believe. He was an undrafted guy. So, you know, people worry about other teams coming in and swooping in and getting some players. We have to realize within a two-week span, what is there, 400 or 500 people put on the open market. So.
Yep.
There's not really a lot of people want to swoop in for a Robert Golden. So just for the fact that he has practice squad eligibility, and Cromartie Smith doesn't, would probably give Cromartie Smith the edge to make this team over Golden.
Yeah, David and I were talking about this morning in regard to Adrian Robinson, that people got to remember that you got 32 teams in the league that are releasing players, and everybody's always scared that a player's going to get scooped up. But I think the last time that actually happened to the Steelers was with Sonny Harris several years ago. It's just not something that happens, that a guy doesn't make it to the practice squad and gets picked up by another team. It's just not normal, unless the guy really blows it up. And in that case, the Steelers need to consider putting him on the 53-man roster. But, you know, Robinson, although he's got a strong motor and looked good the other night when he played, he's still got a ways to go technique-wise and learning the defense-wise.
Absolutely. Yeah, he definitely has talent, though. You can definitely see Adrian Robinson is a very talented individual, but that's a guy who could be a project. And like you said, I don't think anybody's going to be beating down his door if he gets released September 3rd or 4th or whenever it is. So he's a guy that could be a project, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, he came from Temple, for God's sake. So not a football factory. So he probably has some stuff to learn.
Yeah, anything in particular, kind of wrapping you up here, anything in particular stick out to you today from practice?
Yeah, only one fight today, so. I think I've counted something like 8 altercations now and 12 or 13 private padded practices, which is quite unusual. And, you know, assholes have come between like Calvin Beecham and Cameron Hayward. So only one of those today, but on the they went through a little bit of a 2-minute drill here, and Roethlisberger had a nice touchdown pass to Cautry late in the game. And that's very, very similar to the touchdown pass that he threw to Cautry in the Denver playoff game, which was quite good. But it was tough, man, because they only had really 2 healthy running backs. They limited Isaac Redman a lot with Aaron Batch and Chris Rainey also seeing action. So they weren't probably able to hit their run game as hard as they can. But Chris Rainey, once again, looking dynamic again, making plays, making people miss. So I think we're getting past of him being the camp phenom to be he's going to be pretty legitimate and probably a big part of this offense the entire season.
They were working on him with blitz pickup today. I think David tweeted out. Did you kind of see them kind of working with him on that today?
I was probably over watching the linemen battle each other out, so I probably did not see that. So I have to defer to his knowledge, so I can't really answer that. I could tell you that Steve McClendon picked up Marquise Pouncey and drove him back about 8 yards on one play, but I can't really tell you what Chris Rainey did on pickup.
McClendon started.
And listen to this one. Speaking of Rainey, I did see the screen pass to Rainey where he gained about 15 yards, and who scooped him up about 15 yards down the field? Steve McClendon. All 280 pounds of him, right?
Try 320, huh?
It might be more than that now. Probably about 335.
Scooped him up, huh? He's the new big.
Yeah, 15 yards down the field.
Holy moly. He looked quick as a cat the other night. You know, I mean, he doesn't even look like the same player from a couple of years ago. So that's a credit to John Mitchell and the work that he's done with him. And they saying that this kid's really coming into his own and all. So, well, Mark, you know, I think I hear the raindrops in the background back there. So, you know, I don't want you to get too soaking wet over there. But I appreciate your time. And as always, you can follow Mark on Twitter, MarkCabali_Trib. Make sure you're reading his work in the Pittsburgh Tribune review as well. So, Mark, thanks for taking time out and joining us on the podcast again.
Hi, Dave. Take it easy.